It's 12:06 and time for the Financial Focus edition of Midday Matters here on WBOI. And we'd love for you to be a part of today's conversation. So make sure to give us a call with any questions or comments. 260-452-1185 is the number. You can always email us at middaymatters@nipr.fm, or you can send or you can post on our Facebook page. I'm Sarah D'Elia sitting in for Sean Beter, and I'm joined by his Tuesday co-host, Susan Burns.
Yes, yes, I'm here again.
And it's good to be sitting in with you, Susan.
Yes, and it's nice to have you join us on a Tuesday. We're mm-hmm. always glad to hear you on Fridays and other places that mm-hmm. you and
Wednesdays,
Julia turn
yeah,
up.
Yeah.
And today we're going to take put together a show that's kind of a New Vistas sort of theme. We're going to stretch that word a few ways today. But we have Sherry Early Aden she's the Director of Administration and Development for the Community Action of Northeast Indiana organization, mm-hmm. a fine group that provides all sorts of resources for the community. And she's brought Ashley Kostelnik, who's their new coordinator of the Can I AmeriCorps program.
Great.
So we're hoping that listeners who've had some connection over the years with an AmeriCorps program, particularly VISTA, is one that I know we've had a lot of people involved in the community, will call in, tell us about your experience, and let us know how that's affected your life and what your experience has been with that. So how about if we get started?
Let's do it.
We'll dive right in mm-hmm. and maybe start with Ashley. Tell us, what is this AmeriCorps thing?
Well, first, thank you for having us here today. I appreciate the opportunity to speak about AmeriCorps and our wonderful community, how we can get involved. So AmeriCorps is a national service program, basically, and it has several legs, if you will, and one is AmeriCorps State and National, which is what we're a part of. Can I will be having a program, and then there's also the AmeriCorps VISTA and the AmeriCorps NCCC. So there's a variety of different ways people can get involved of all ages to do direct service in their community or travel nationally and help out communities all over the country. If you had to, we call it the Domestic Peace Corps. So if you understand what Peace Corps is and how they directly involve and try to help their communities and build and expand programs to help the community thrive and become better in all ways, that's what our AmeriCorps State program is doing. So each program, there's 18 in Indiana this coming year, and each has its own areas of focus. And so the Can I Corps program, we will be focusing on financial literacy as one, and Lutheran Social Services is our partner that will also host two members. We will also be focusing on education, early childhood education to be exact, and we will also have an outreach and volunteer to help us with those program, and we will also be focusing on healthy futures, so trying to get our community signed up and utilizing what our state provides for health insurance.
Great. So I'm making a note here because the three aspects, just say them again.
The overarching AmeriCorps is pretty broad. So there's AmeriCorps State and National,
right,
which each state has their own commission or they are go directly national to. Ours, we have the Office of Faith-Based and Community Initiatives, which funds us on our program. So they are community agencies, whether they're for-profit or nonprofit, that apply for the grant and they have some sort of need. And so they bring in these members or participants to come in and do the direct service. So they're community agencies that may or may not have the funding to do it themselves. They might not have the reach or extra hands to do it. And so this is a perfect way for members or people, citizens in the community to get involved. And then it's also a part to help them move on and forward and try to make those connections into larger organizations or organizations in the networking, if you will, to find full-time positions afterwards, because AmeriCorps is a term of service. So they'll be doing 10 to 10 and a half months for the state and national, and they'll serve 1,700 hours within that time period.
Okay. Do they get paid, or is this all volunteer?
They will receive a living stipend. So there are numerous advantages to doing a term of service. They for our program and many, most of the state programs, they'll receive a living stipend, which will be determined by how much the program is allowed to give them. But normally, it'll be $12,100, and they just split it up, and you get a stipend every 2 weeks, like we would receive a paycheck, except they're doing direct service, so we're not considering their living stipend on how many hours they serve, because we want them to go above and beyond, and that's what this position is for, is to really get out there and serve your community. It doesn't matter how many hours you're out there doing.
Yeah.
So they do receive a living stipend, and then there's also an education award. And after you complete your term of service, you receive, for a full-time member, which is what we'll host, $5,500 to go back to school, go to school in the future, most times any kind of medical training or any training that you might want to do, as well as a unique opportunity is to pass it down to your children or grandchildren. And so you have, you know, a limited time to use that, but it's a great opportunity because it helps people in the future. And helps your family in the future if you're able to pass it down. So anyone of any age can do the term of service. And something interesting is many schools here in Indiana and even online will double that amount. So you're not just receiving the $5,500, you're actually receiving $11. So,
gosh, that's a pretty big gift. and one of the things you touched on in the passing by there and mentioning grandchildren, Sherry, we talked a little before the show that a lot of people tend to think of AmeriCorps volunteers as AmeriCorps kids, you know, the young people maybe of college or right after college age who are hit by this economy with an unemployment situation, but it's not just for kids.
No, that's true. Actually, it's a huge opportunity for the newly unemployed, to be honest, if you're in between work, taking advantage of being an AmeriCorps member and serving the community is a wonderful thing to do. And even if you already have all the education you want, this is a year for you to actually do some work in the community, gain the Ed Award that Ashley mentioned, and pass that down to your own children.
So this is a new program that's kind of, it's going to be, you know, it's in its kind of early stages for our area, right? Is that true, or?
Fort Wayne has had AmeriCorps members in the past, mm-hmm. but we kind of have laxed on that, and we've not had a host agency located in the city of Fort Wayne for quite some time.
Gotcha.
So yes, if you want to think of it as being a resurgence in that sense of the community having an agency that will host members, mm-hmm. most definitely, it's mm-hmm. new in that sense.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if we could maybe talk a little bit about the economic impact that we hope this program will bring to Fort Wayne and the surrounding area by having a host in Fort Wayne. And what does that, let's back up a second. What does it mean to be like a hosting area for members, for somebody who doesn't really know that much about AmeriCorps? Could you explain that, Sherry?
Sure. Well, what this entails is that we had to actually apply as an agency to the Office of Faith-Based and Community Initiatives to become a recipient of members. And you can apply, a minimum is 10 members and mm-hmm. then anything above. But you have to show the need, the community need, and that there's issues here that need to be addressed that you're attempting to address either by building capacity or expanding services.
Okay.
And so that's what we did. And when we wrote, we concentrated on, I think, five areas, and Ashley mentioned them. One would be Healthy Futures, and we're going to be utilizing members in our Covering Kids and Families program, mm-hmm. where we actually go out and help with getting individuals signed up for state-funded insurance programs. Mm. Our goal is to expand our outreach and build partners in Elkhart, Kosciuszko County, and Steuben. That's an area that we've been to, but we've not been able to concentrate because we just didn't have the capacity to do so.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll have members there located in that area. We're also going to do education, and that'll be Head Start and Early Head Start mm-hmm. that will utilize members in those areas. And there, our goal is to increase literacy skills for children. There's a statewide, assessment that they take called High Scope.
Mm-hmm.
And our goal is to have a certain level of children that are in the early Head Start and Head Start program reach a certain level by the time that the members are about to finish. Okay. We will also expand our male involvement program in that area as well. Then we have our economic opportunity area. And the titles for these areas are designed and created by the National Community Service Organization. And so we have to find performance measurements within those that meet our objectives as well. And so in the economic and opportunity area, we'll use our Community and Economic Development Department at CANI, as well as Lutheran Social Services of Indiana. And we will expand financial literacy training to individuals in the community as a whole. And then we will have one person that comes on board for us that will do volunteer generation. And that will be to design and implement a volunteer program for us so that we can help do some grassroots recruiting of volunteers to further all of our efforts that we're putting forward.
And is the hope that once, you know, folks are obviously donating their time and service to the Fort Wayne and surrounding area, is the hope that once they've completed their time of service that they then, you know, turn around and get a job in that area that they served, further, you know, stimulating our economy? Or is the longer term goal to help them find a job or continue their education elsewhere? Or is there a hope that we kind of like keep some of these people, I guess, is what I'm asking?
I think it's twofold. Yes, hopefully once you're involved in your community, your concern and your connection to your community increases, so you feel a part of whatever's going to happen here. And so there's a connection that even if you leave, hopefully there's a desire to come back and do more good work. But then, too, we want the Ed Ward to hopefully go wherever you want it to take it and increase your level of knowledge in whatever field you'd like to do so.
Okay. 260-452-1185 is the number to call if you have a question or comment. We're talking about AmeriCorps, and if you've experienced it, you've been a part of the program, and maybe you've you had an easier time seeking employment, or perhaps your time was invaluable and you want to share a little bit of your experience and how that translated into the real world, using air quotes. We'd love to hear from you. So 260-452-1185. You can always send us a note at middaymatters@nipr.fm, or you can post on our Facebook page.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. And I'm wondering about the financial literacy program, especially. It's Financial Focus Tuesday, so we would kind of point to that. But what kinds of things do you see coming out of that that you've proposed to the state program so far? And you've got the Lutheran Social Services Partnership. Will there be like classes, or how do you see that actually rolling out?
Okay, well,
Sherry and Ashley, you're looking at each other, Sarah.
I think we'll do it in multiple ways. Okay. Currently, both agencies, CANI and Lutheran Social Services, provide some type of financial literacy. Oftentimes, we do it one-on-one. If an individual comes in and they're having trouble, we will help negotiate, you know, putting together a budget, looking at where you want to be and where you are now. And then we have group classes as well that focus on maybe bigger, broader issues of financial management.
Like a budget or...
Budget.
Managing credit cards.
Savings, checking accounts, insurance, you know, mutual funds. What do all those things mean? We have oftentimes have individuals that have no experience with those and no exposure. So having a financial literacy class that covers the whole gambit is very helpful. Now, there, I know at Lutheran Social Services, they do a program called Dollar and Cents, and it is a very kind of like 101 financial literacy course, in that it really talks about what's the basics, how do you even get started considering and looking and thinking about your financial life. And then the courses that we provide usually at CANI are just a little bit above that, and saying, okay, now you're here and you know what a bank account is and you know what checking and savings are. How are you managing those? You know, are you putting something aside for yourself every time you get paid, or your family? Yeah. Are you budgeting what you're doing and how you're going to go about that? Are you planning for expenses? And just teaching individuals those kinds of, it, some people think are basic knowledge type things, but not often. You know, if you don't have any experience with it, you don't know how to use them.
And the other fun part of why we wanted to have them come is there's job openings. Mm-hmm.
Yes. And, you know, one of the things we never do, and we never refer to a term of service as an AmeriCorps member as a job.
Yeah.
You are a member and you are here to serve. And so we do have member opportunities. And this year, as I think one of us mentioned earlier, have 10 of them. 8 will serve directly with Can I, and then we have 2 that will serve at Lutheran Social Services. And if you go to the Can I website, you can find information there as well as applications and a way to actually apply. Mm-hmm. The areas that we are looking for people to participate in are listed there with details of the work that individuals will be allowed to participate in.
Mm-hmm. So. And we might have some folks that are tuning in right now and wondering how they can seek those membership opportunities with AmeriCorps and Can I. And I see I'm looking on the page right now, and it seems like you must have a high school diploma or a GED equivalent. You have to be at least 18 years old. But as we discussed earlier, you know, there's no, it's not a young man's game, really. It's for anybody. You have to be a U.S. citizen, and then you have to complete the application. Should people, you know, so it's really, it seems like it's open to all walks of life with all different kinds of experience. So if somebody is worried that maybe they haven't been able to find a job, and this is a great way to build up their resume and portfolio of work.
I think that would be a great opportunity as well. There is no great expectation that you come knowing right. how to do it. Mm-hmm. We plan to teach you how to do whatever we have there.
I was going to ask, especially with some of the financial literacy, you know, should folks be intimidated if they've, you know, if they themselves need to learn a little bit about that before they teach other people?
No, because in each of the areas, there'll be a training period where that's what the member is concentrated on.
Okay.
Is learning what they're going to go out and take to the public so that they can deliver those services.
Mm-hmm. Great. And noticing the counties served, is it... would you be interested in people in some of those counties that you mentioned earlier, like folks in Steuben or
specifically? I know that we had been looking for individuals in Elkhart, Kosciuszko, and Steuben. So if this is nothing else, this is a great shout out for individuals that live in that area. Mm-hmm. If you're interested in serving your communities, please take a look at our website.
Mm-hmm. Oh. And at the same token, are you, I mean, this is open to anyone in the United States, so it will be interesting to see if you do get a variety of folks and if it's bringing new people to the Fort Wayne and surrounding area, really.
Well, we've already had a couple of calls, to be honest.
Really?
Because one of the requirements for us is to put it on the national AmeriCorps website. So mm-hmm. there's been a couple calls from Connecticut and other places saying, you know, are the opportunities still available? And I'd be interested. So, mm-hmm. yeah, it could really draw individuals from other places.
Mm-hmm. That's great. Great.
Could be a tough group to sort through to decide who the perfect members are.
That's kind of an interesting point, too. What is the going through those applications? It's going to be the first time that you're doing it, but what do you envision that process to be like? Is it kind of daunting or, you know?
It's interesting. I think from my point of view, being a member and now being a coordinator of a program, it's interesting to see the types of people that apply and to see the people that, you know, they have been through life and now they're re-unemployed and they're looking for something to do and they're looking for some opportunity. And then the people right out of high school that, you know, haven't had any experience and things like that. And this type of program supports all of those people. So the applicants that we're getting are great. And it's been an experience going through some of those and trying to figure out, in, you know, what departments to pass those along to and what skills our departments would use and then try and grow as well. Part of the training we mentioned, you know, doing an orientation or training to those specific areas like the financial literacy. Mm-hmm. But there's also another training component. We do a monthly training with all the members. They get together, and then we do, it's a professional training. So I bring in professionals from the community from all over to talk about grant writing and resume building, networking, how do you do it, you know, what's the best ways, public speaking, building presentations. So there's a lot of different types of training opportunities. So by the end of their term, if they've come in with no experience, hopefully we've built them up a little bit more and provided some confidence and some training so that they, when they do move on. And then those people that do have experience and maybe they're a previous CEO or something and now they've, you know, wanted to do something else or they're retired and they want to give back, they have experiences that we can build upon and they can share their stories of what they've gone through in the past to help. So really it's an overall, it's a really great program that can encompass almost anyone, whether they have experience or not.
Right. And Ashley, I wanted to ask you, because you went through the program, why did you decide that AmeriCorps was the right decision for you?
It was, my personal story is kind of interesting. I went to school for teaching, so I have a degree for physical education and health, and I love children. I love working with them. And I moved to Fort Wayne about 4 years ago, and I couldn't find anything. The teaching, you know, opportunities were scarce, and it's been rough. So I got a job to just kind of keep myself, and after a year of doing that, it just, I missed kids. I missed giving back to the community. I've always been service-oriented through college and everything, and I just found this opportunity random on the internet, and they called me the next day. So I actually served at the American Red Cross here in Fort Wayne. Their program's out of South Bend, but they do mostly disaster relief. And I have to tell you, I didn't know what I was getting myself into. I had no idea. And, you know, I have previous experience working with kids, working with community members, working with people. And so, you know, they must have saw something in me and hired me for a reason. And I tell you, it was life changing. I, you know, my education is in teaching and doing those types of things. And this really opened my eyes to community service and the nonprofit world of how can we really help our communities to sustain itself. And I fell in love with AmeriCorps. So I did it for a year and a half about. And all their training opportunities were great, and meeting everyone else and just seeing what everyone was involved around the nation. And so it changed my aspect on a lot of things. And I was lucky enough that halfway, not even halfway through my second term, Ken, I wanted to start this program. And they hired me on, and it's been a great experience ever since.
That's great. So you have your own personal testimony to networking and from AmeriCorps to employment. So that's great, and doing something that you love as well. So that's always a happy thing.
Exactly.
Yeah. So you mentioned applying on the website, and we've taken a peek at it here. And I love the name of your website. It's Can I Help?
Right? We love it, too.
Ashley, do you want to give us, is there a deadline? When do people need to get that all squared away if they want
to
apply?
Like we mentioned before, our program starts September 17th as the first day of orientation and training. So we are kind of cutting it off next Wednesday. We're saying we need to make our choices and move forward with getting them, you know, checked and make sure everybody's prepared for that. So if you're interested, get it in quick and, you know, call, email, get on the website and put in that application.
Okay, great. And we'll have that link posted on our Facebook page during the next half of our show. So be sure to like us on Facebook if you would like to see what's going on with Midday Matters, and as well as the Can I AmeriCorps link that will be posted up there. We unfortunately have to say goodbye to both of you, but thank you both so much for coming in today and talking about the AmeriCorps program.
Thank you.
Susan and I are going to take a short break, but we'll be back with more Financial Focus Midday Matters here on WBOI in just a few moments.
Egypt's new president took a series of bold steps in recent weeks. He defied the country's military rulers, bombed Islamic militants in the Sinai, chose China as his first overseas trip in office, and now comes out in full support of the rebels in Syria, all while promising major changes at home. I'm Neil Conan, The New Egypt, next Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Tune in weekdays at 2 here on WBOI, Northeast Indiana Public Radio.
Been in the kitchen too long? Then it's time to toss a salad of styles, forms, tastes, and timbres. I'm Bob Mayer. I create the salads every Tuesday from 7 to 9 here on 89.1 WBOI. Join in the Jazz Food Fest.
Support for this program on WBOI is provided by Indiana Tech Law School, opening in Fort Wayne in fall 2013. Information on admissions and curriculum at www.indianatech.edu/law or 855-TECH-LAW. Support for this program on WBOI is provided by Lake City Bank, offering a wide range of financial investment and trust services for individuals, businesses, and not-for-profit organizations through the Lake City Bank Wealth Advisory Group. More information available at lakecitybank.com.
Welcome back to Financial Focus Midday Matters here on WBOI. The time is 12:32. If you'd like to be a part of today's conversation, make sure you do give us a call at 260-452-1185. You can always post on our Facebook page or send us a note at middaymatters@nipr.fm. And we're going to change gears slightly, Susan,
but we're
still focusing on opportunities for young professionals in the area.
We are. And we've got a couple guests now in the studio with us to talk about some doings involved with travel abroad. And one of them, Dick Conklin, you were here in the spring to tell us about the expo opportunity you had.
Which turned out beyond our wildest expectations. You know, you work hard at it and you go into the event and then you say to yourself, wow. And Annie can reflect on that because she was there also.
Good.
Our other guest is Annie Kolb. And Annie represents a couple of different interests in Rotary, but she's here today because she was a Rotary exchange student.
Good. So we've had the previous exchange. Now we've got some trips coming up with some deadlines also. And so I think, Dick, if it's okay with you and Sarah, why don't you just start off, fill us in on what's coming up, and Annie, dive in when it reminds you of wonderful times you had abroad.
Sure. Well, the first experience that we want to talk about is a high school student exchange program. And this is for a academic year. It's for high school students who are 16 to 19 years of age, but they cannot have turned 19 prior to leaving, which is normally in August. We exchange with about 50 different countries. And we're looking for student applicants from Allen County, Fort Wayne area. And now the first question that comes up, and I don't know where you are in your experience, Sarah, working with exchange students, but the first question that comes up is with parents, oh my God, not my kid.
That was my mom.
That was your mom. and she was the ultimate. Her mom was the ultimate. It started in her freshman year when Annie and my daughter were good, close, personal friends. And I said to Annie's mom, you know, she really needs to start thinking about this at this stage of high school. Never mind what her mother said to me, but it was not nice. It will not be broadcast. Get out of my daughter's life. Second year, the same thing. Third year, the response was, oh my God, she's thinking about it. What are you doing to her? And then the fourth year, when she was a senior at Concordia, she's applying.
Yeah.
Oh. And so what happened, Annie?
We went through a long application process, some interviews, a lot of deep conversations about where I would like to go and how I would like to use it in the future.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And all of a sudden, we were in the middle of it, and I was going, oh my goodness, my life is going to be crazy.
But it really opened some interesting doors for you long term. Then
lots of open doors. I had narrowed it down to a Spanish speaking country and had no idea what or where I was going to be with that. But the top numbers that I put up there were for Spanish speaking countries, and I ended up with Mexico. It was a little shocking at first that was lower on my list. Yeah. So that was interesting, but it turned out to be the most amazing experience. I could have ever hoped for. I couldn't imagine myself being anywhere else. I've been able to use my Spanish in my profession currently. I am working with Hispanic families day in and day out and helping them get their children ready for kindergarten. And it's been able to give me a bit of an edge because I can bring that cultural background as opposed to just the language.
Now, the radio audience can't see this. This is a blonde, blue-eyed, Hispanic fluent young lady, which is kind of a interesting contradiction in itself.
Sure. It's surprising.
Yeah, it surprises people. So what happened is she applied, she was accepted, and the thing that occurred, Susan, was, and Sarah, two things. Number one, there is always the conversation, so what's going to happen to my child? And over the years, I've put together a list of what I call my Conklinism guarantees. Number one, and my oldest daughter started this conversation and when she returned, and she said, "Dad, you've got to tell the students that this is going to be the hardest, most difficult year of their life." Concur?
Absolutely. It's one of those things when you get back, you don't think about all of the hard times that you went through. The great experiences outweigh that, but absolutely, it's an extremely difficult year.
So it's a real stretch.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of.
So you don't recognize it as you're going through it.
Yeah, but that's the second thing that happens. Yeah. You know, you say to the kids, hold on to your socks because this is going to change your life forever.
You need to be prepared for that. And I'm not sure that you're able to get that preparation until you've done it and you're already home and you go, wow.
What were some of those challenges?
First and foremost, absolutely the language barrier. I became extremely introverted, not on purpose, but it's hard to get out there when you have no idea what's going on around you.
Yeah.
And aside from that, you lose a lot of the emotional connection because you're not able to express those emotions in that language and culture. And you rely a lot on different types of communication, you know, body language and
crying, calling home.
Gestures.
No, I really tried hard not to call home. But you gotta live it. And if you're calling home every day, it's really hard to get through.
Yeah, you don't separate yourself from your home culture. Yeah. And that's a real challenge for students, especially in today's world with cell phones, internet, Skype, you name all the various possibilities for the connection, and it doesn't happen. The other thing that happens, and this is what really surprises parents, if you think your child is a good student now, when they come home, they're a better student.
Or if they're not a good student.
Yeah. Or if they're not a good student, they're still going to come home a better student. And the reason for that is really quite simple. It's because when we send students into another culture, education in every other culture is paramount. If you have that education, you have just made a huge jump in terms of your life in that culture. And we don't necessarily accept that fact in this culture. You know, it's mandatory. You got to go to school. I don't want to go to school, all that stuff. But in those cultures, for you to move on as a student from grammar school to high school and from high school to college, you have to pass that test. And if you don't pass the test, life just becomes very, very different than what you had hoped for as a student in that culture. So our students tend to realize they're thrust into a situation where, for the most part, the students that they're working with and they're studying with and they're friends with have a whole different perspective of its importance. And it kind of rubs off. Really, truly does. Mm-hmm. And then the other thing that happens is, and this is part of the overall experience that I'm sure Annie will reflect on, you become a much more mature person because you've done things, you've been responsible for things, you've gone places, you've made choices that suddenly, where else would you have done this in that short a period of time? Mm-hmm. Did you grow up at all, Annie?
Oh, I'm not sure. You might want to ask some other people that question who knew me before. When I think about what I gained, not just in maturity, but in education, the experiences you have abroad that help you learn about yourself and about your own culture as opposed to another culture are, I think, the things that really broaden that education, because you all of a sudden it's an addiction. You learn a little bit and it's like, oh my goodness, I want more. Right. And I actually took that and was able to, after my year with Rotary in Mexico, definitely had the bug. I couldn't help it. Another travel opportunity came up and it was like, oh, how do I get that? You know, how do I get there? I was able to, fortunately, because I was able to come into college with credits in Spanish, I finished my major, my first major, halfway through my sophomore year. And so it allowed me to double major as well as double minor. And I was given the opportunity to study in Italy for a semester. And then also a summer in Denmark. And it's just, it's addicting. Those life experiences are...
Participate with Rotary and become a frequent flyer.
That's right. Now, I don't get nervous. They're great opportunities.
Yeah. Now, here's the thing that you have to deal, I have to deal with parents, and it's like, I can't afford it. Mm-hmm. And here's the best news coming out of Fort Wayne, Allen County, Indiana, because the reality is when a student becomes a Rotary exchange student, there are other programs, but a Rotary exchange student, you actually leave the culture, and all of your expenses within that year are already identified. But parents forget that at the same time, they've just canceled Annie's car insurance for a year because she's not going to be driving here or there. And that's $1,000 right there. You've factored in all the cost of clothes. I'm talking to a young lady. I have daughters too. Yeah. And you factored in all the weekend expenses, you know, of doing this and doing that because you're overseas. And all of that is programmed into the project that, or for the program, the exchange program. And so what happens is you say to parents, and especially dads, look, Dad, you can't afford not to send her. And at that, they go, no way. But what helps is because Rotary has a scholarship internal to the Rotary program, the Rotary Club. But then we have this program in Allen County called the Hefner Fund. And the Hefner Fund provides scholarships for high school students from Northeast Indiana, but predominantly Allen County, to travel and study abroad. Mm-hmm. And it's just incredible the resource that represents for the likes of Annie and all the other exchange students.
That sounds great, Dick. And let's hear some more about it, but I think it's about time.
It is. We're going to take a short news break right here on WBOI, but we'll be back with more of Midday Matters in just a few moments.
Julian Castro grew up in San Antonio in a family rooted in Latino activism. But as Mayor Castro, he takes a different approach.
I sort of feel like I have one foot rooted in understanding the struggle of generations past, and then another foot very rooted in forging a new future.
Julian Castro, keynote speaker at the Democratic National Convention, later on All Things Considered from NPR News.
All Things Considered airs weekday afternoons at 4 on WBOI, Northeast Indiana Public Radio.
Good afternoon. I'm Katie Anderson with WBOI News. State Superintendent Tony Bennett says he wants to see the General Assembly address school reform on a broader district-wide level. As Indiana Public Broadcasting's Brandon Smith reports, Bennett wants that discussion to take place as soon as possible.
Tony Bennett says it's not in the state's best interest to operate schools. He says those are best run locally. But he says if schools repeatedly fail, local control shouldn't be used as an excuse for the state not to act. If a number of schools in a single district fail, Bennett says the state's takeover model may be expandable.
I think that is a discussion I hope the General Assembly has in 2013, is how we address systemic failure of districts.
Bennett says his department is already grading districts the way individual schools are assigned letter grades. House Education Committee Chair Bob Boehning says state takeover of entire school districts is an avenue worth exploring.
The problem isn't necessarily the schools we're taking over. What happens is they get to those schools and they fail because they haven't gotten the proper training beforehand.
Boehning says while passing legislation might not be possible next session, he hopes the issue will make its way onto discussion calendars. For Indiana Public Broadcasting, I'm Brandon Smith.
Most people in prison for low-level felonies have several prior convictions. That's the finding of a new study from the Center for Criminal Justice Research at Indiana University's Public Policy Institute. As Indiana Public Broadcasting's Gretchen Frazee reports, that could change the state legislature's effort to reform criminal sentencing.
Governor Mitch Daniels tried to push through prison reform legislation in 2011 to reduce the number of people held in state prisons and limit the amount of money Indiana spends on inmates. The idea was that many people who are put in prison for low-level felonies, such as theft, would be better off in treatment or on probation. But the new study from the Center for Criminal Justice Research shows people who commit those low-level felonies have often been convicted of other crimes. John Von Arks is the project manager for the study. He says the data shows prison time isn't being used for first-time offenders.
What we're beginning to pull together is the data that suggests that there's a longer period of criminal behavior in terms of prior convictions than maybe what some people believe to be the case.
State Representative Ralph Foley chairs the Criminal Code Evaluation Commission that will make a recommendation to the legislature based in part on the study. He says legislators will have to look closely at the data to find a way to address public safety needs within the constraints of the state budget.
When you put people inside the walls of the state prison, you're choosing the most expensive alternative in criminal justice, but that doesn't mean it's not warranted.
The final version of the study will be released Thursday when it's presented to the Criminal Code Evaluation Commission. For Indiana Public Broadcasting, I'm Gretchen Frazee in Bloomington.
Indiana health officials are urging residents to start training now for an October contest that challenges them to quit smoking. Health Commissioner Gregory Larkin says it takes planning and preparation to stop tobacco use and urges residents to exercise more and make healthy eating choices. The 2012 Quit Now Indiana contest offers participants a chance to win up to $2,500 for remaining tobacco-free for 31 days. Contestants age 18 and older can register through September 30th. Contest winners will be drawn at random and will be tested to make sure they are tobacco-free before they can claim a prize. More than 4,500 people across Indiana participated in the 2011 contest. The Fort Wayne Tin Caps have wrapped up the regular season and start the postseason playoffs tomorrow night. WBOI's Doug Gruber has the story.
With last Friday night's 7-0 shutout of West Michigan, the Tin Caps qualified for the playoffs. Would it be Lansing or Bowling Green? Tin Caps manager Jose Valentin has his preference.
We like to face Lansing and not Bowling Green. The reason why is because, you know, we know the Lansing's got better pitching, got three guys are the best pitchers in the league. But we pretty much beating all three guys.
Valentin gets his pick. The first playoff series for the Tin Caps starts tomorrow night at Parkview Field against those Lansing Lugnuts. It's a best of three series with game two and three if necessary at Lansing. How does Valentin think the Tin Caps will match up against Lansing's tough pitching staff?
We beat Sanchez, I think, twice. We got some good batters against Syndergaard. We haven't got too much good success against Nicolino. Team, I think, offensively is better team than they are. Whoever pitch better and play good defense is going to be the winner.
It all starts tomorrow night at Parkview Field. First pitch, 7:05. For WBOI News, I'm Doug Gruber.
And now back to Midday Matters with your host, Sarah D'Elia.
Welcome back to the Financial Focus edition of Midday Matters here on WBOI. The time is 12:50. If you'd like to join the conversation today, 260-452-1185 is the number to call. You can always post on our Facebook page or send us a note at middaymatters@nipr.fm or post on our Facebook page. And I'm just repeating myself, so you have no excuse not to do it.
But we also have the Twitter feed.
Yes, and, you can
all
tweet
kinds
us.
Of ways to get in touch
exactly.
with us.
And we've only got about 10 minutes left of the show, so I want to make sure we get as much information about these great opportunities for young professionals in our community as well. So
let's wrap up the high school program.
Sure.
And then we'll go to the next program real quick, okay? The high school program can be wrapped up this way. Annie in the break brought up an important point, and that is if you as a parent or it's going to be parents listening to this, have a student who might be interested, they're going to balk because they've got so many other options on the table right now. And it's the question, is this something I really want to do? So one of the first questions is, how do I build the fire in the belly to really want to have to do this? Okay. So then the next thing I want to offer is that on September 17th, Monday, there's going to be an open house. And if they want information, they can contact me at 493-6380. 493-6380, and we can get them information. It's going to be 6 o'clock at Indiana Stamp. That's a company over on Production Road, back behind Ryan's off of Lima. So that open house is an important event for students. It's no commitment. It's come to get information. They can come as freshmen, sophomores, or juniors. It's too late, really, for most seniors unless their birthdays are exactly right. The reason we promote Rotary so actively is because it's a volunteer-based organization, but also Rotary is international. So when Annie went out, she knew that she had a connection in that community with Rotarians, just like we just accepted two students into Fort Wayne, one from Chile and the other student from Japan. And they know, the parents know, that they have a connection back here that takes ownership for the student. Okay, can we move on?
Sure.
All right, let's go on to what I think is going to be appealing to Sarah, and that is we have the second program, which is the Rotary Group Study Exchange Program, and this is a short 4-week cultural vocational immersion program through Rotary, and in May of 2013, we will be sending a team of 4 young professionals, 25 to 40 years of age, to Western Austria.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, doesn't that sound enticing?
That does sound cool.
We're talking about cities like Salzburg. We're talking about Innsbruck. We're talking about Linz. I mean, that western part of Austria. The whole idea is that in those 4 weeks, young professionals as a team will live in the homes of Rotarians in those cities, and they will pursue and get information about the culture of Austria, as well as their individual professions. So, for instance, 7 years ago, I happened to go to the Netherlands as the team leader. The team members have to be non-Rotarians. That means they cannot be the son, daughter, or spouse of a Rotarian. Mm-hmm. Okay, and everything is basically paid for the experience, except for your passport, your any required shots that you might have. I can't imagine there are any in Austria. And then the third would be any incidentals. So all your round-trip travel while you're in country in Austria, your expenses of meals and travel, all that is picked up by the Rotary programs in Western Austria.
Wow.
So it's a really neat opportunity. Two things have to happen. Number one, they have to get an application, and they can get that by going to Rotary6540.org, and on the left side of the page they'll see Rotary Group Study Exchange, and they can get the application there. That application has to be filed by October 1st. Mm-hmm. They also have to be available for interviews at the district level on Saturday, October 27th. Mm-hmm. With the application, there has to be a commitment form from their employer saying, because we don't want them to be dealing with surprises, mm-hmm. you know. Yes, yeah. My employee has permission to be considered for this, rather than coming back after being selected
right. And
saying, guess what, I'm going to be gone for 4 weeks. You know, those kinds of things have to be worked out beforehand. Mm-hmm. And normally what happens is a lot of employers, normally because they have a international interest in the company, will say, okay, you take 2 weeks vacation and I'll give you 2 weeks, because it's really a professional development opportunity. It's cool. It's a really cool experience. Mm-hmm. And every time we just had a team from Bulgaria last year, totally different country. The year before that, we had Argentina and Brazil, and we sent teams to Japan. I mean, all over the world. Mm-hmm. And so if this is something that catches a young professional's fancy, oh, wow, I'd love to see the country, yeah. another country. Mm-hmm. This is a very affordable way to do it. My estimation is it's a program that's going to cost the individual somewhere between $300 and $400 for the whole 4 weeks. Mm-hmm.
Amazing. So how do you decide professions? Does it, do you, like, once you pick the people, then you go find the Rotarians?
No. Over there, what we will do, in fact, we already know the team that's coming from Austria, which is like, wow, such an organization. We have a young lady that's a kindergarten teacher coming. We have an interpreter. She only speaks four languages. We have a young lady that is in marketing for museums. Mm-hmm. And we have another young lady that's an auditor.
Great.
So it's not determined by vocation. It's determined by the applicants and who we think would best represent Rotary from the top northern third of Indiana in that kind of an exchange.
Mm-hmm. Great. So if you're one of those people, it's Rotary. Let's see if I've got the numbers right.
Rotary6540.org. And then, you know, down the left column, you can go to Rotary Group Study Exchange. If anyone knows Mike Kelly at IPFW or myself, again, the same telephone number. Mike is in the Division of Continuing Studies. He went to Argentina 4 or 5 years ago. You know, contact us and we can get you that information.
Mm-hmm.
So we know with Austria, we're not going to have a shortage of applicants.
Right.
But we want the best applicants.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. So Annie, are you going to apply?
Yes. Absolutely.
But her boss doesn't know that yet.
Oh.
And neither does her mother.
Right.
And Sarah,
she knows.
And in the break, we realized that I used to work with Annie's mother.
Oh.
So she's a nice lady, Dick.
She
loves her daughter dearly.
Oh, she does. And she only tried to kill me twice. But other than that, we've gotten beyond it.
She's come to expect.
Yeah.
Of this nature.
Yeah.
I wonder, we have just a couple minutes left of the show, but Dick, if you could expand a little bit, what do you think people that are going to be lucky enough to go to this Austria trip, what are they going to bring back professionally?
Well, what happens is in the design of the program, at least one day of each week, the individual team member will have the opportunity in that location to pursue their vocation.
Okay.
So there's at least one day. When I went to the Netherlands, it was not unusual that we had at least 2 and 2.5 days that were focused on vocation because they had so much diversity available to us. And then the rest of the time is spent learning about the culture, the history, doing a little bit of sightseeing, trying all the different foods. You do live with host families, so you may live with an older couple. You may live with a couple with 2 or 3 kids at home. And that's part of the experience also, just melding into it for a week.
Mm-hmm.
Each week you'll normally stay with one club in that location, but then other Rotary clubs in that area will take you for a day in their little town or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it's just my best experience, and I'll do this very quickly, Sarah.
Mm-hmm.
You and I know we're from the East Coast. We experienced the East Coast. Can you imagine? We were in the Netherlands the first day that the smelt ran.
Mm.
Now, for those who don't understand that, that's when these little tiny fish make a run on the coast, and it's a national holiday. Well, we went to a Rotary meeting, and they wanted us to down the hatch with raw smelt.
Oh, gosh.
Do you think my Indiana team did that very well? But they discovered with a little beer, you can do anything.
All right. That's unfortunately all the time that we have for our show this week. And you're listening to Northeast Indiana Public Radio, broadcasting from the Madge Rothschild Studios at 89.1 FM, HD Channel 1, and streaming online at NIPR.FM. This is WBOY Fort Wayne. Sean Beter will be back same time, same place next Tuesday from noon to 1 with Susan Burns. I'm Sarah D'Elia, and coming up next is Fresh Air. It's 1 o'clock.